Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again, this time to talk about El Oro Resources. That's a company that's developing one of the most remarkable new mineral deposits, I think, probably in the world, that being the Isca Isca silver-tin-rich polymetallic deposit in Bolivia. It may well be one of the largest new silver deposits being outlined anywhere, and it's a very exciting story, and so I'm really pleased to have Quentin with me today. El Oro trades in Canada under ELO as a symbol. In the U.S., it's ELRRF. 64.4 million shares outstanding and $3.02 in this very wretched market that we have these days. That's in U.S. money. Gives it a market cap of $195 million. Well, that might sound like a big number for some of the companies that I cover in my newsletter, but not for this one, because the Isca Isca deposit that El Oro is working on is mammoth, and it's getting more and more mammothy every drill hole that's put down. Thanks for joining me, Quentin.
Well, thank you, Jay. I love the way you put that. That's exactly right. Mammothy.
Mammothy is a new word. I just created it. Anyway, the last time we talked was March 15th, and it was March 16th that El Oro put out some news, Isca Isca project. From that project, they reported 351-meter intersection grading 182.34 grams silver equivalent. And in terms of ounces, I mean, we're looking at, what would that be, something like 6 ounces over 351 meters, 6 ounces of silver equivalent. That's really spectacular. That particular hole was drilled to gain material for metallurgical testing, I believe, and it, along with another hole, was drilled from an underground adit. But if you can recall that particular news release, what was learned from that?
Yeah, look, the company has just had a long string of very highly successful drill holes. The one that you're talking about was in mid-March, if memory serves. It hit, an incredible interval. I actually fired it up so I could read the numbers. Okay. So, the one in March, which is March 16th, was a 351-meter intercept of 182 gram per ton silver equivalent, and that was comprised of 30 gram per ton silver plus about 1.65% combined zinc lead, as well as there was a little copper in that interval, but there was also 0.11% tin. Okay, so that is a remarkable result, 182 grams silver per ton equivalent. You know, you kind of translate that into gold, which is where my brain goes instantly. About things like this. You know, that's about a little over 2.2 grams gold equivalent. So really, you know, you're talking about a drill that's nearly 800 gram meters. You know, and those are exceptional drill holes. Now, what's remarkable about the new drilling that we've been seeing out of Isca Isca here over the past couple of months is that they're chasing the system southward. And this is there's a target that called the Santa Barbara target, which is really expanded now. It's become basically half the caldera complex, and it's wide open south. But towards the south end of the Santa Barbara target, they keep seeing these whopping long intervals of mineralization. The most recent news release actually includes an intercept of 169 gram silver equivalent. And it does, the breakdown is 64 grams silver, so that's a little over 2 ounces silver per ton, as well as about 1.35% zinc lead, and then 0.07% tin. These values, you know, like let me use a comparable. Okay, there's a mine nearby, the San Cristobal mine. It was found by Thomas Kaplan and team. Many years ago, it was put into production, I believe, in 2007. San Cristobal ended up in Sumitomo's hands around 2009, shortly after the GFC. Anyways, Sumitomo's been operating this mine for 13 or 14 years now. And the average grade's about an ounce silver per ton, maybe a little bit more, but, just over an ounce silver per ton. And about 1.6% combined zinc lead. Well, the drill holes that have been coming out of this, this Santa Barbara area here at Isca Isca are very much in line with those kind of numbers. You know, you're seeing 1 to 2 ounce silver. You're seeing about 1.35 up to 1.65% zinc lead, primarily zinc. But you're also seeing a significant tin component. Okay, now this system's a little different than San Cristobal. San Cristobal is basically a pure zinc lead silver system. This one has the tin component, and tin trading at about $40,000 per metric ton right now. This is not insignificant. Okay, 0.11% tin, for example. You know, that would be a little over we'll call it 2.3 or 4 pounds of tin per ton. Well, you know, that's in U.S. dollars right now. A pound is roughly $20. Okay, so, you know, you're talking about an additional, you know, call it maybe $40, $45 in value from the tin alone. So that's a big kicker. And in terms of economics, that could help this project tremendously. Not to say that it needs all that much help, but just, you know, it kind of supercharges the thing.
Yeah. That one I referred to was drilled for metallurgical purposes to get the material to test the metallurgy. Has the company put out any information yet on metallurgy? Because, you know, obviously would seem to be a complicated.
Not yet. I think they're doing systematic metallurgy in the background as they drill. And I think they're going to continue to do that as they drill different areas. There's different metal ratios and stuff from place to place.
Sure.
I think what they're going to do is they'll probably do metallurgy on a wide selection of different styles of mineralization and bring it in as part of their PEA. But, you know, people bring up metallurgy a lot, and I guess my answer to that is I've seen the core, seen the mineralogic reports, you know, the petrography and so forth, and this is a very simple deposit. It's very much like San Cristobal. You have zinc in the form of sphalerite, which is a zinc sulfide. You got lead in the form of galena, which is a lead sulfide. You have silver in the form of a trace in the galena, as well as some silver, what we call sulfosalt minerals, so silver sulfide minerals. And then the tin occurs as cassiterite, which is tin oxide. And it's actually a very dense mineral, can be easily recovered through gravity process. So basically, the metallurgy, the size of the grain, the mineral grains and such, very similar to all the rest of the mega polymetallic systems in Bolivia, and all of them have a very manageable metallurgical property. So that, you know, I don't see any issues with what we have right now.
No, that's good news. Well, I just wonder, there's several of these breccia pipes in this caldera that you pointed out, but it seems as though, you know, earlier on I thought there would be separate projects, but as you referred, the Santa Barbara pipe or the Santa Barbara deposit is really about half of the caldera now. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Are there some other pipes that will be explored yet down in the south? I think, and is it getting richer? Is the tin getting richer to the south of this structure?
Tin is definitely getting richer at depth. They've also hit some high-grade tin in, I think, one drill hole they had down at this Porco area to the south.
Yeah.
They also had very, very high tin in an adit, a historical adit that was drifted in along a high-grade structure. So there's very high tin in that. My bet is as they drill southward, as they march southward towards the Porco area, yes, you will see the further breccia pipes, that there is a breccia down, a large breccia body down there. But you'll also start seeing the porphyry itself, the magma, the body of magma down there. Now cooled, of course, you know, we're not talking about molten rock, but the what we call the causative intrusion is down there somewhere. And it's expressed in the geophysics, but it's also, you know, been seen in the gray distribution of the drill holes drilled thus far. It looks like things are definitely warming up at depth and down plunge to the south as the company moves in that direction. My bet is by the end of the day, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago on the Crescat video. Right now, the strike of the Santa Barbara area is over 1.2 kilometers, what's been drilled. It's something around 700 or 800 meters wide, and then to depth, it's probably 600 or 700 meters. You know, that right there can host a lot of mineralization. It's not entirely mineralized, that entire volume.
Sure.
I would say maybe 35 to 40% is, you know, so you're already looking at a deposit that could be many hundreds of millions of tons. Now, as they go southward and expand this, they've got about another kilometer of runway, maybe 1.1 kilometers of runway. And this thing could end up being, you know, a billion and a half ton deposit, in my view, you know. So, and it's going to be polymetallic. There's going to be areas where it's mainly, you know, zinc, lead, silver. There's going to be other areas where you're going to see tin in appreciable quantities. You're going to see other areas that perhaps have more copper and gold even. So really interesting kind of smorgasbord of metals in the system.
Yeah, well, speaking of Crescat Gets Active, your videos that you do every Friday, the one you were referring to, I think a couple of weeks ago, you came up with some numbers, some possible, and you walked the viewers through how you calculated the potential at an early stage, admittedly, very early stage still, but came up with a gigantic number, a potential number for silver equivalent ounces, and it pretty well blew me away when I heard those numbers. But I guess this is a kind of a deposit that's easier to sort of come up with some numbers perhaps earlier than a lot of other deposits.
It is. The limits of the deposit haven't been identified. Yeah. They keep drilling holes. Like there was one hole they drilled, I think in this last news release, that drilled kind of northeastward and really tested probably one of the most easternmost limits of the system. And yeah, once again, they hit mineralization clear down to the bottom of the hole.
My goodness.
You know, up in the north, it's still open. Certainly to the south, to the west, maybe it's a little more closed off at this time. But, you know, by and large, it's open in all directions and at depth. So, you know, I guess I would say, yes, it's a little easier to estimate, you know, but then again, you know, you tend to underdo things. Like, you know, when you can't see the limit, you don't know quite how big to make the box volume you're estimating. So my hunch is, like, I'm very confident this will be north of a billion tons at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, the numbers that you talked about with just a portion of what you know to be there based on the drilling that's done so far. I guess you can't say you know it until you drill it intensively enough to statistically be sure. But the numbers are very, very, I mean, for a company with a market cap, what did I say? Less than 200 million US in a market right now that doesn't seem to want to even look at these kinds of companies. I think it's the time people should really be paying attention. You know, we like to buy things when everybody else is buying them. Sometimes it's the best time if you have some cash to keep your eyes open for stories like this, I think. So going through the drill program this year, then, how much are they going to be drilling, and should we be hearing something on a pretty regular basis, Quentin?
Yes, I would expect a pretty steady stream of news, usually about once a month. It looks like they put out drill results maybe 2 weeks on the short end, maybe 4 weeks on the long end. They have a lot of drilling going. They got four rigs operating. How many meters they plan to drill at this point, I think, is a bit of an open-ended question, because they do continue to chase this thing, you know, especially to the south. I don't think there's any question they're going to drill that thing pretty intensively. I think in the last news release, if you look at one of the two maps they had in there, you'll see a whole bunch of planned holes, both at the south end of the Santa Barbara target area, but also down in that Porco area. Mm-hmm. So that impression of how much, you know, how many meters they plan to drill. It's a lot, you know, we'll come out, you know, a few tens of thousands of meters. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, I'll give my two bits. I'd rather see the company drill this thing aggressively and then worry about putting out a resource. Like, you know, why put out a resource when you're in mineralization like this? You know, right. If it's open, you might as well drill and, you know, see how far the thing goes before you kind of wrap a rope around it.
Obviously, the major mining companies that are interested in this sort of thing can do their own calculations and can come up with a pretty educated guess about what's there. And it just keeps getting bigger. So I hear what you're saying, you know, and it probably makes sense from an investor's point of view, even though we would like to know, we'd like to get some sense of it. You provide a lot of information that helps investors at Crescat Gets Active videos. And I'd like my listeners to pay attention to that and go view those, because it's a very educational video that helps people understand, you know, early on what the prospects are. I know you're cautious in how you caveats that are behind the numbers and things. Well, you don't provide that many numbers, but you help people understand the geology, you know, how nature put the minerals there and so forth. It's really interesting. And I think also very, very valuable for investors like myself too. And I want to thank you for that. Anything else you'd like to tell us about? Anything else you'd like to say about LRO?
the current market route, once again, we're seeing junior mining companies, take a hit alongside everything else on the planet. But if people are smart, park a little cash somewhere, be ready, because when the rebound happens, I think you're going to see the junior miners, especially in the precious metal space, really benefit from what's coming. And, you might as well get yourself positioned here.
All right. Well, thank you, Quentin, very much for being with us and giving us an update on this very exciting story. And we'll look to do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future, hopefully.
Thank you, Greg.